Hi, everybody. This is The Simpsons Show. I am Robbie with my co-host Matt, and we are here to talk about The Simpsons from the beginning. Matt, how are you doing today?
I am wonderful.
Good. And we have Allie. Allie Gertz is back with us to welcome in the second season of The Simpsons. Allie, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm good. I'm home. I like home.
Oh, good. Home is nice.
Yes. Before we get started, I would like to welcome new listeners. Remind everyone that if you like us, please review, subscribe, rate, all those things, iTunes, Stitcher, all those places you can listen to us. You can also find us on Twitter at Simpsons Show Pod, Facebook, facebook.com/TheSimpsonsShowPod, and our website is TheSimpsonsShow.com. Before we get started, we are welcoming in the second season, and Allie, this is your favorite season, if I'm correct.
I wouldn't say it's my favorite season, but I will say that this episode and, well, this episode's great, but my favorite episode of all time is from this.
Is from the second season.
This season. Yeah, and a lot of people, I think I might have even mentioned it last time, but a lot of people give the best review to 3 through 8. That is the typical, like, season 3 through 8 is where it's at, but season 2 is such a good, season, and it's really this episode that shows you, like, all the animation and humor and emotion that you could expect from the rest of the show. So I'm excited.
Yes, I am as well. I forgot how good this episode is. This week we are doing Bart Gets an F, episode 7F03. It originally aired October 11th, 1990. It was written by David Stern and directed by David Silverman. So a pair of Davids working on it. The chalkboard gag for this episode was, "I will not encourage others to fly," which is, yeah, that's pretty good. I like, they're already,
I'm sure there's a great story about a kid with a broken arm behind that.
There's a lot of those. I think they just, they're eternal. It's children just jumping off roofs. The couch gag is, "The couch falls through the floor," with Homer yelling "dough," as he is wont to do. Before the before we get into the events of the episode, I think a little bit of the backstory of what happened between season 1 and 2 can color kind of the environment, at least, of the television landscape at this time. Between 1 and 2, Fox decided that they were going to switch the Simpsons over to Thursday night at 8 o'clock to go against the Cosby Show, which was then pretty much the number one television show on television. I think most people on The Simpsons apparently did not like this because they had a good time spot on Sunday nights, and they probably could have gotten the number one show in their time slot on Sundays, but Fox was like, no, we gotta take on the Cosby Show and try and knock down our competition.
In other words, they were trying to Firefly it from the beginning.
I guess so. Like, everyone involved with The Simpsons kind of despised this because instead of them getting the number one spot where they were, they're going to now be number 5 or 7 or 3 because Thursday night was kind of jam-packed with competition. There was a lot of, when this episode came out, there was a lot of newspaper articles about Cosby versus Bart and, like, you know, Simpsons versus Cosby. Can they make it? Can they beat Cosby Show? And the initial ratings show that the Simpsons did beat them. However, the final ratings show that the Cosby Show picked up the victory narrily.
Were those like the ratings with the DVRs that they had back in the early 90s?
No, not early 90s DVRs. No VCR recordings, man.
Damn.
I know. It's unfortunate. But, however, this still is the highest rated Simpsons episode ever.
Really?
Really, wow. Since then, no higher rating. It had over 30 million viewers.
Wow.
Yeah, that surprised me as well. I thought that, you know, there'd be a few later on, but this is, I think, it had more viewers, quote unquote, than the Cosby Show, but the Nielsen rating was higher. I don't understand Nielsen ratings, but it was higher.
They're the voodoo economics of ratings.
Yeah, 1,000 viewers equals 10 million people. That's Nielsen, I guess. That's how that works. But getting into the events of the episode, we see the opening sequence, the new one, the one we still pretty much use to this day. we get the new animation. It looks a lot better than the first season opening sequence.
Pretty much everything in this season looks a lot better than everything in the first season.
It really does. We start the episode with Martin dressed up as Ernest Hemingway, doing a book report on Old Man and the Sea, which is it's quite wonderful. I'm a big fan of Hemingway, so I like that Martin enjoys him as well. They call up Bart to obviously, Mr. Bob pulls up Bart to try and give his book report on Treasure Island. He clearly has not read Treasure Island. And we see the first chalkboard gag within the show that's not in the opening, which is, I will not fake my way through life. And Bart actually, and Miss Krabappel warns Bart at this time, you know, you failed tests and you're struggling. You know, you have to start doing better. And we get like, here's like a, basically a Peanuts-esque kind of gibberish, blah, blah, blah.
That's what it is. I love that.
Wah, 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 wah,
yeah, wah, wah, wah. And it's a, you know, a lovely little callback to another kind of another kind of adult, almost adult oriented, cartoon. Bart, instead of going home to study, goes to the arcade, and we get to see him play Escape from Grandma's House, which I always love the arcade machines that they create for these early seasons.
Well, because there's nothing more terrifying to a 10-year-old than the grandmother's house. I mean, you got to remember, the Simpsons, when they go to Grandma's house, they pick beans. They do manual labor. So, yeah, read that.
My grandma's house smelled like mothballs. I think that's kind of universal. I think most grandma's houses do smell like mothballs.
Mine smell like sausage.
That was not the answer I was expecting, but it makes me like you even more, Matt. We go home, the house. They eat dinner. Lisa's showing off a new A on, I think, a vocabulary test or something of that sort. Homer covers up Bart's drawing from first grade.
There are a couple little quotes that I love in this scene. When they get home, they're talking about how they have to hurry up and eat soup because otherwise it's going to get the skin on the top. And Homer says, "Ew, icky soup skin," which is one of my favorite little like introductions to this type of humor. Just it's such a accurate encapsulation of just family dinner, like. And I love that Homer wants to have a beer, and Marge is trying to get him to pay attention. And Homer says, "I just want to have a beer while I'm caring," which I think is great.
Yes,
because he does care, but he also wants a beer.
Yes, he wants both. That Bart is upset they're covering up his cat picture from years ago now. But and you know he wants to go study, but Homer wants him to watch a movie. It's Big Gorilla Week on some network, which I really like the fact that Homer is he, and we see him identify with this the King Kong ripoff, and like he was already you know a Quijibo in the first season, and even in the future Treehouse of Horror episode he is King Kong, King Homer.
Well, so, the model for the ape looks a suspiciously large amount like Homer anyway. So
they're not
subtle with the comparison between Homer and apes.
I love that Homer is stealing Bart away from doing his homework. I'm not sure about you guys, but that is something that happened all the time in my household. I have a sister who's very much like Lisa, and my dad would always try and convince her to stop doing homework, stop trying so hard, watch TV with me. And I would do it without any kind of force. Like as soon as my dad was just like, "Let's watch The Simpsons instead," that's what would happen. And it definitely did not help my grades. And I relate to Bart a lot.
Bart tries to start studying after Big Gorilla Week the movie is over. But he falls asleep like after about 10 seconds of trying to read American history. So he goes to school the next day. There's the big test. He tries to grill Sherry and Terry there for help.
Test answers. Yeah, stretch.
And they just give him a whole bunch of fake garbage, which is pretty funny. I think this is really our first exposure to them at any length.
Which, to be fair, their version of American history sounds pretty awesome. I mean, if the Pilgrims really landed in sunny Acapulco, we'd have a very different country.
Yeah. Martin actually warns him for this kind of foreshadows what happens later in the episode, that, you know, that was all baloney. Bart fakes being sick, goes to the nurse, and goes home with Amoria phlebitis.
I love that nurse so much. And this is nothing like, you know, the nurse that we get later on in the show.
No, she's
it's so,
not.
I mean, it actually is more, it's less of a character and more just like a school nurse who's like a little worried and, you know, believes everything Bart's saying. And yeah, I love this disease and I love how Marge deals with it.
I love this disease. And she actually is putting back in those little, I don't know what they're called, those little wooden sticks that you put on people's tongues. She's picking them off the floor and putting them back into a glass bottle. So I don't know. I don't think that's good. But Bart goes home. He's being like nursed back to health by Marge. And Homer actually has to bring their one television upstairs.
Because Bart has his vision back.
Yes, yes. And Homer is like, I wish I had a moriophobitis. But basically, you know, after the third bowl of ice cream, they're pretty sure that Bart's back on his way to full recovery. He calls Milhouse for answers, thinking that somehow that Milhouse has the right answers.
Really quick, I love that you have Snowball batting at the pencil when Bart's filling out the answers. It's just this episode I see more than earlier in last season. You start to get more of Snowball and Santa's Little Helper doing just little jokes throughout the show.
Yeah, that's exactly what my cats do whenever I try and do anything.
Oh, absolutely. Or they'll sleep on the laptop when you're trying to record a podcast.
Yeah, I have one next to me right now.
Same here.
It's a podcat. But he goes back to school and makes up his tests and confidently answers everything the way that Milhouse told him to. And he does worse than Milhouse even did. And this leads to a meeting with Miss Krabappel and Dr. J. Lauren Pryor, who makes another appearance. He's a standout of the early seasons of the... He's worried about, you know, Bart. He was in Bart... No, most notably in Bart the Genius.
And apparently doesn't like being called Dr. J. What a stick in the mud.
I know. If I could be called Dr. J, I'd take that at every opportunity. It's a pretty good name. But basically, it comes down to, like, he talks about Bart being an underachiever and proud of it. And basically...
Fear of failure.
If he doesn't, you know, straighten up and fly right, as Ms. Krabappel had said the day before, then he will have to retake the fourth grade. And... this is kind of an interesting segment because this is even on kind of a commentary on a lot of the stuff that was going around in kind of the pop culture of the day, because there was a very popular t-shirt that was getting kind of flack in schools, you know, Bart Simpson, underachiever and proud of it. And that's even in J. Lauren Pryor even says that he's an underachiever and proud of it. And and the writers, they try and kind of dance around this. Oh yeah, we're not really trying to react to that necessarily, but I think James Brooks had said that he wanted to show that there are kids like Bart. There's these people, these kids that, you know, they don't, not every kid gets good grades. Yeah, and I think that the fact that this episode really focuses on that and is a little bit, I mean, tighter to reality than Bart the Genius was, I think it really drives home like kind of how knew this was on television.
I love it. And I, you know, it's not just that Bart is just this troublemaking one-dimensional character that, you know, I wouldn't say he's one-dimensional in season one, but we definitely get so much more emotion and maybe embarrassment for his intellect. He says, like, why are we beating around the bush? I'm dumb, okay? And I think he is afraid of that. And especially when he's comparing himself to Lisa. And, you know, I think he definitely struggles. And I'm someone who has just struggled in school throughout, even though I think, you know, I wouldn't say that I'm dim. I definitely had a hard time concentrating and wanting to do the homework. And, you know, I relate. I really do.
Not to mention during this sequence, Homer has the exact same reaction to Mrs. Krabappel talking. So it's probably genetic to some degree.
He said, short attention span, and then Homer immediately goes into the blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, there's this Simpson gene. They established that later on, that only males, all of them suffer. And we do. We see genuine emotion from Bart. And when he hears that he may have to retake the fourth grade, there is, like, genuine kind of fear and terror in him. He's like, no, I can't be that kid. Because, well, yeah, that his friends do make fun of Martin for being, you know, the nerd egghead. There's still like a tenuous line about being, oh, I'm not super smart, I'm not an egg, but retaking a grade, that's even worse.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
It's funny, in the later episode when he gets sent back to third grade and he knows all the answers, he seems pretty happy with it then, but in the end he does go back to the fourth grade.
Yep.
Yeah. And we get we see him talk to Otto, which that I really enjoyed that little moment about how we learned Otto had to retake the fourth grade and now I drive the school bus. that you know, look where I am now, and that appropriately frightens Bart a little bit. We also get a dream sequence with Bart as like aging old elderly Bart, like in his 50s or 60s, still in fourth grade with little Bart Jr. in class with him.
And an ulcer, which, ugh.
Yeah, I know. I think that's the first of a couple dream sequences of this episode. I forgot about that. That was even in this episode. I like Bart Jr. I think it's as simple as that. I like Bart Jr. He's embarrassed of Bart Sr.
And whoever Bart ended up marrying is obviously smarter than he is, because Bart Jr. knows the answer, dang it.
Yeah, exactly. He's appropriately frightened of retaking the fourth grade, and so he decides to kind of make a deal with Martin. There's a kind of a sequence where a ball ends up rolling over towards where Martin is sitting next to a tree reading Moby Dick, as fourth graders are want to, I guess fourth graders, I don't think I was ready to read Moby Dick in fourth grade, but I guess it tells you how smart Martin is, because Moby Dick is quite, it's...
No one's ready to read Moby Dick. It's very boring.
Yeah. If you want to hear about how things are white and there's lots of, you know, ropes on boats.
And how obsession can lead to your own downfall.
Yeah, that's the interesting part. But they kind of make kind of a, they bargain. Basically, Bart says, Martin, I will teach you to be a cool kid.
Well, really quick, I really love that he doesn't know that he's not cool. Like, yes. That's the best part. He has no idea. He thought that the dioramas and the, like, all the hard work and the things that they dislike him for are like the valuable years of being the hall monitor. Like, it's so funny because you would think that everyone knows that they're unpopular with what they are, but a lot of kids have no clue.
No, it shows the appropriate level of self-awareness in a fourth grader. And we actually, we have that clip pulled. We'll play it for you now.
Hey, Martin.
You have your ball. I have nothing else of value.
I need you to help me get a passing grade.
Well, you do need someone's help to get a passing grade, but I don't know why that someone should be me.
Because I can make it so the other kids don't laugh at you so much.
They laugh at me? I'd always considered myself rather popular.
You're not. Watch.
But my speed with numbers, my years of service as a hall monitor, my prize-winning dioramas, these things mean nothing to them?
Perhaps another demonstration.
Very well. You have made your point, Bart.
Then it's a deal?
Yes.
So they kind of make this deal. Martin's going to tutor Bart, and Bart's going to kind of repay him in his own way. And we get a lovely, like, montage of them going back and forth. You know, Martin sets up Bart's study area.
Giving him plants, because you can't have an appropriate workspace without some live plants.
You need ferns. Ferns are important. and Bart shows Martin that you need to sit in the back row. Don't sit up front. You know, he's like, what? Don't sit up front. You don't sit up front anywhere. Not in school, not in church, not in the bus. You always sit in the back.
So no one can see what you're doing, which will come in handy when you start taking drugs in high school a few years later.
Matt, I'm learning more about you.
I didn't go to the nicest high school. You can tell.
Okay. I guess that's fair. You know, we get this little montage of them going back and forth. There's Bart teaches Martin how to, do graffiti.
That's
and Martin
my favorite.
Yeah. Martin paints this nice, like, lovely portrait of Miss Krabappel. Yeah.
And what it's a kid. What a son of a bitch. Not only is he smart, but he's artistic too. I hate that guy.
Yeah. You compared yourself to Martin multiple times, Matt.
True, but I'm not artistic at all, so screw him.
Your art is different. Your art is hanging multiple monitors on your walls.
That's true. That's the one thing I am good at.
We get to the point where they hit kind of an impasse where Martin kind of goes crazy with, like, the thrill of being the bad kid. And Bart's like, but man, I need help. we got to study. We got to finally get to the actual studying. And Martin kind of goes crazy with power and runs off with all of Bart's friends, with Milhouse and...
The Martin other ones.
The other ones, yeah. Lewis, blah, 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 yeah. So, and Bart, you know, kind of goes back home, and he realizes that he cannot get this done in time. He can't do this. He needs help. And he actually, and he prays. He prays to God. It's a very, very earnestly, and Lisa kind of remarks, prayer, the last refuge of a scoundrel. I think this is really interesting, because at the time, especially at the time, like, you know, Barbara Bush at the time, you know, had said that The Simpsons was stupid, the stupidest thing she had ever seen. And, but at the same time, a lot of people, the conservative political people were, you know, saying, you know, The Simpsons couldn't, you know, were in touch with America and all, blah, blah. They were setting bad examples. But how many sitcoms at the time were showing prayer, honest prayer?
Yeah, it really is sincere, and it is interesting though, because prayer in the case of Bart is similar to a lot of people that maybe, I mean, they do go to church, but prayer kind of is that last resort, and when there's nothing else to do, you pray, even if you're maybe not even that religious. I mean, I know that I do the same thing, and I don't go to church, you know what I mean? I've been there, and I think kids will do just about anything. Like, and his prayer is still funny, even though it's sincere. Like, he's wishing for horrible things to happen.
So he can do
some homework.
The show, like, it shows that it happens. People do that.
Yes.
And no other sitcoms really do.
And to be fair, people in real life pray for much worse things than snow.
True.
Yes. And his prayer is answered. We get snow falling and hallelujah. Then we get actually hallelujah. Hallelujah plays over as snow falls, you know, and Bart wakes up kind of in a panic, and we, you know, everyone's excited because it's snowing. And like, we get a Bill and Marty on the radio. Is this the first time we hear Bill and Marty?
It is, right?
Seems like it.
It seems like it. Yeah, that's what I thought. I couldn't find anything saying it was, but I cannot remember Bill and Marty on the radio before this. The worst radio DJs ever. And, you know, we have school canceled. Homer's, the nuclear power plant is closed for the day. So he's off work, and everyone's rushing outside into the snow to play around in it. Bart is just about to do that when Lisa interrupts him. And we pulled this clip. I think my favorite part of this episode, because again, it shows Lisa as kind of the moral center of the family, because everyone else is quick to rush off to have fun, and Bart only wants to do that, but Lisa tells him about prayer and thoughts on God and all this, and we're going to play that for you.
Hey, I heard you last night, Bart. You prayed for this. Now your prayers have been answered. I'm no theologian. I don't know who or what God is exactly. All I know is he's a force more powerful than Mom and Dad put together, and you owe him big. You're right. I asked for a miracle, and I got it. I got to study, man.
I just like it in this scene where Lisa's idea of what is powerful is more powerful than Mom and Dad combined. That's pretty epic right there.
Yeah, and I think that, again, accurate kind of portrays what a child's vision of God is. Mm-hmm. It's like a thing that's above the parents, like another power level higher.
Is it over 9,000?
Matt, I thought this was unsaid. No Dragon Ball Z references.
Oh, shucks.
That was...
No, that's what that was.
Okay. So what you're saying is God doesn't have a power level over 9,000. Is that what you're saying?
He's not not more powerful than Goku or whatever. I don't, we're not, yeah. Allie, be happy you don't know what that's from.
I'm gonna steer us away from it because I know nothing about it.
Good.
I love the scene when Bart is wondering how much fun it could possibly be outside. How fun it is outside. And I love that it's that it's actually named Snow Day, the funnest day in the history of Springfield.
Yes, yes.
And just everything about that is so exactly what you think of when you think of, like, what's going on when I'm doing my homework? And it's always like that in your head, but rarely is it actually that fun in real life. And so you have like Mr. Burns and Smithers and all the different characters, and you see Santa and Santa's little helper and Snowball like kind of on top of each other with the whole family, like skiing or ice skating. And it's great. And I feel so bad for Bart.
Yeah, it's a really beautiful sequence. It's,
hilarious.
Yeah, it's the best animated thing yet, I'd say, in the show. David Silverman has mentioned that it's the hardest thing he had done because I imagine how extensive it is, that just long panning shots of all these characters interacting, and the first time they've ever done it this extensively. And there's even, we see Sideshow Bob, we see Jacques, we see the car salesman that Albert Brooks plays, Bob's RVs. I don't think we got a last name, but Bob. And we see all these guys that are, you know, ice skating and throwing snowballs. And we see the first appearance of Diamond Joe Quimby, who does declare it snow day, which it's, and the pan back to Bart at the window, just
pressed up against the window. It's so good.
I also want to say this is the first time we see Maggie in her little star outfit. I don't know if we saw that in the initial Christmas episode. I want to say we didn't. And I love Maggie's little star outfit.
Oh, it's great.
It's the best.
It really restricts her movements, which is necessary because otherwise she would probably take over the entire town.
I know. The agility in that child, it's terrifying. Bart goes back to studying, and we get another dream sequence of the Founding Fathers, which it has a different look than the rest of the show. It's mostly gray tones with kind of a very subtle red, white, and blue kind of highlights. It's really beautiful, really fun. It actually reminds me a little bit of that dream sequence in Life on the Fast Lane with Marge and Jacques.
Definitely. I can see that for sure.
Even the dream sequence of him trying to picture them signing the Declaration of Independence is hijacked by Snow Day. And we get George Washington, I think, breaks in, or is it Thomas Jefferson? I forget which one. But they have a sled, and it says, "Don't sled on me." Little freeze frame there. Bart slapping himself, you know, trying to knock himself out of it. We see the family seeing this. So they're aware of kind of how much Bart's trying to study. I think they kind of appreciate it. He goes, you know, he studies, goes back to school the next day. Takes the test, obviously very anxious about it. You know, he wants Mrs. Grapple to grade it at that moment. Can you please grade it for me right now? And, you know, she grades it. You know,
let me get out Old Red, she says.
Old Red, yeah. Marsha Wallace, rest in peace.
She's so great in this episode.
Yeah, she really is. Miss Krabappel gets fleshed out a lot more as the series progresses, but this is really the beginning of her as a full supporting character. And, you know, she doesn't mark as many as we, you know, as usual, probably, but it's still a 59. It's still an F. Bart breaks down, you know, crying, upset, because he tried. And he even says that, you know, I really tried this time.
Yeah, I think it relates a lot to his fear of failure before he got bad grades because he didn't try. And he knew that if he did try, there was a chance he was going to fail. And this time he did try and he failed anyway. So that's probably a huge blow to his little ego.
Of course. And he says, like, this is the best I could do and I still failed. Like, how sad. Like, it's a horrible feeling.
Yeah, we have that clip as well because I think it.
This is my favorite part of the episode for sure.
Great voice acting and really touching. So, here you guys go.
No, what's the matter?
Well, I would think you'd be used to failing by now.
No, you don't understand. I really tried this time. I mean, I really tried.
There.
This is as good as I can do, and I still failed.
Well, a 59, it's a high F.
Who am I kidding? I really am a failure. Oh, now I know how George Washington felt when he surrendered Fort Necessity to the French in 1754.
What?
Oh, you know, 1754, the famous defeat of the French. Oh.
My God, Bart, you're right.
So?
You just demonstrated applied knowledge. And due to the difficulty and relative obscurity of the reference, you deserve an extra point on your exam. Hey, it's only fair.
You mean I passed?
Just barely.
I passed!
I got a D minus. I passed. All right. I passed. I got a D minus. I passed. Teacher!
He gets the extra credit and passes. He's so happy. And I think you could feel that. We celebrate along with Bart. Because, you know, and Miss Grabopple kind of throws him a bone there with the extra credit, even though it is a pretty good pool for him to, you know. They probably should have asked that question on the test and he would have been fine.
Plus, it leads into all of us thinking that one day, knowing that one stupid fact that no one else knows would get us out of trouble, just like he got Bart out of trouble.
George Washington crossing the Delaware. And, he brings his D-minus home, and they triumphantly puts it up on their fridge. And the quote that ends the episode, and I absolutely adore, part of this D-minus belongs to God.
Which is so funny. One of the quotes that stuck with me the longest, though, was just Bart being so excited about the D-minus and goes outside and starts screaming, you know, like, I got a D-minus. Keeps saying it. And then he realizes, I kissed the teacher, which, yes, of course, is just like, as a little kid, the funniest thing in that episode, I think. Because you don't get why the D-minus belongs to God joke is funny until you're an adult, I don't think.
That's true. No, that's true.
Oh, yeah, well, that's nice of you, Bart. Thank you. But as a kid, just like the idea of kissing a teacher is the most like backwards thing ever. That is the same kind of humor to me as like Joy to the World, the teacher's dead. Like, it's just that kind of stuff that makes watching it as a little kid so fun. And this episode always stuck out just because it was more about the kids than some other episodes, and it just really felt like the parents in it were definitely parents, and were definitely, like, the teachers were teachers. Like, no one was really showing any kind of sympathy for you, really, until he really started to break down and cry. And I love it.
That's true. In this episode, the parents and the teachers are, they kind of try, but not super hard. It's very realistic that they're not really pushing him. They think he can do it by himself.
Yeah, and they just don't really understand. Like, when they're telling Bart that he's going to have to repeat the fourth grade, like, they try to understand, but they seem a little perplexed by his reaction. And I love Homer saying, it's like, well, if you do, you know, you'll be the bigger one. You'll be bigger than the other ones.
Yeah, exactly.
Just, like, does not quite get it.
The show hits humor multiple levels. You know, you can watch this as a kid, and you get a certain level of humor. And you rewatching this, even now, a lot of this stuff I had forgotten, and I forgot how good this episode was. It's very good, guys. Man, it's really good.
Well, coming off of Some Enchanted Evening, it would be hard not to be.
Yeah. anything else you guys want to touch on before we move on to our listener question?
Just reiterating how good of an introduction I think it is into the rest of the show. Like, I know some people have even rated this as their... I mean, I know that we hear that ratings were good for this, but... some people have said that this is the best episode of The Simpsons just because of what it does for The Simpsons. And it really is a lot. And the episode that is my favorite, which I hope to possibly guest on later, is the girl version of this, which is Lisa's substitute. And I think they both do very similar things where we get to just really understand these characters, like, who are The Simpsons and what are they like when they're their most vulnerable. And I think it's a great, great, great episode for the humor, the animation, but also just because it's sweet.
It really shows a very different side of Bart, because a lot of what you see in the first season is the underachiever and proud of it. And this kind of takes that and flips it on its head a little bit and makes people who, you know, the Barbara Bushes of the world who insulted Bart, you know, tells them, no, you don't know what's all to this character.
So with that, I think we'll move on to our listener question of the week. We're coming off our finishing up the first season, and our listener question of this week was, what is your favorite moment from the first season? There's a lot of them. I mean, a lot of people, you know, kind of say that first season isn't very good, but this was a tough decision for me. Again, got a lot of great answers from our listeners. On Reddit, Cody Av, Bart trained the neighborhood kids to stand up to Nelson, because of the patent references, and Herman, one-armed Herman. Twitter, we have Kevin, at Daddy Poirier. For me, it's, I'm going to the backseat of my car with a woman I love, and I won't be back for 10 minutes. Yeah. A lot of love for, Life on the Fast Lane. Jacob at Two Sheds, when Homer and Bart are playing the Punch Out clone and Marge unplugs the TV, Homer's reaction is great. And yeah, that's the highlight. I think that kind of Oedipal combat that Homer and Bart are going through is kind of the highlight of the episode, especially with, the kind of counters to Lisa's really, the heavy emotional content of Lisa's story. Roger at Roger Wong, Santa's little helper coming home. He's a loser. He's pathetic. He's a Simpson. Which, that's the very first episode. K3K at Catherine Dirks. Marge dream sequence with Jacques. I love his lovemaking trophies. And Fiesta Terrace for single living. Super Reese Brothers at Super Reese Brothers. Bart getting punched in the face in Bart the General. It's very brutal. On Facebook, we have BJ, which probably my answer of the week. End of Life in the Fast Lane always gives me chills. I love how this starts the tradition of, after a chaotic event that shakes up their relationship, Homer and Marge will reunite and walk out into the sunlight, moonlight together, which I think you guys brought up in that episode. It also has the great An Officer and a Gentleman reference that still works today. Just a perfect cap for such an emotional episode. Matt, what is your favorite moment from season one?
I actually have to go with in Moaning Lisa, when Lisa finds whoever's playing that crazy jazz music. Because I know as a kid, I would occasionally find adults who actually treated me like an adult and talked to me on their level. And it was always incredibly refreshing to have somebody who actually listened to you rather than just telling you something. And it was great to see Lisa able to find that, because I feel like in her family, that's exceptionally rare.
Mine, I really debated about this. I wanted to say kind of the happy ending of Life on the Fast Lane. But I gotta go with Bart revealing Sideshow Bob as the criminal on his little fake talk show.
That's great.
That's kind of the birth of Sideshow Bob as the kind of this villain. And I really, really enjoy it that, you know, Bart is able, Bart and Lisa together, kind of working together to, you know, solve the mystery. Allie, we're putting you on the spot. What's your favorite moment from season one?
There are a lot of them. My side is, I'm always drawn to anything emotional. I do actually really love, the Santa's Little Helper, ending of the pilot, but I'll just go with a quote that I think is funny when, Homer is picking out which lobster to eat and, picks one. They all look good, but, how about this one? And the waiter's just like, why don't you pick one that's a little bit more lively? He asks why and is explained like, well, that one's dead. And it kind of defeats the purpose of live selection. Just a funny little one. I mean, cause I think it's obvious that, all the Lisa and family stuff are the best moments for me.
Yeah. It's tough. It's tough. Even with 13 episodes, there's still a lot of really good moments. Our listener question for next week, I brainstormed this one. I thought the best episode that has snow in it. I know that Mr. Plow is gonna be the front runner, but I'm challenging you guys. Come up, go outside the box. Think of other. I mean, there's a lot of them. The Simpsons did more. They even mentioned this in the commentary for this episode. Like, look, snow. How many shows do you see with snow?
Yeah, God, some of my favorite episodes have snow. That's going to be a great question. I got to say, I went to the Simpsons at the Hollywood Bowl.
How was that?
It was, of course, fantastic. You got Conan singing the monorail. You have the Gay Man's Choir singing See My Vest. You had, you know, just so many great numbers. But they didn't do Mr. Plow, and they didn't do You Don't Win Friends with Salad. And you might have heard this, but the way they closed was Do the Bartman, which I think is such a hilarious choice because it's not even, I don't know, it was just very funny. It was a beautiful night, and an interesting choice, I think. for how they ended it.
Yeah, I've seen the YouTube videos. I wish we, if we only lived, you know, several thousand miles from where we do. And actually, I have the Simpsons Sing the Blues CD in my hand.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, which Matt and I have discussed doing a bonus episode centered around the Simpsons Sing the Blues. Well, maybe down the line.
You should.
Yeah. I will post our listener question, which is, again, what is your favorite episode with Snow, on our Twitter or Facebook. I'll put it on Reddit as well. Our Twitter, again, is @SimpsonsShowPod. Facebook is facebook.com/TheSimpsonsShowPod. I'm trying to put a lot of content up there, all the new videos, I linked to the Conan singing the monorail song, YouTube video on our Facebook. I'm trying to, you know, spread the love around all our social media. You guys can come and join the conversation. I think that's what people say. But before we wrap up, we have to do the segment we end every episode with, which is a segment we call Best Episode Ever.
Best Episode Ever.
This is where we rank the episodes categorically as we watch the episodes chronologically. For me, I'm going to throw this out here. This is new number one right away. Better than everything in the season one. What do you guys think?
Just absolutely.
Yeah, I gotta agree. There's a few episodes. Obviously, the Krusty episode in season one is fantastic, but it's very close between those two. But this obviously tops everything in season one.
Yeah, the animation's tighter, the writing's tighter, the jokes you're getting that pop 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 like joke of the Simpsons. Like that's what. Their style, their writing style is just like just the depth, the density of jokes.
God, I'm looking through season two right now, and it is going to be so hard to rank the episodes because, like, my God, like I said earlier, I wasn't sure if season two is my favorite, and I do think there are funnier seasons, but man, like, there are not very many episodes on this that aren't just great.
It's a murderer's row.
This podcast is just going to get more and more fun because it is just full of great jokes. Jesus.
There's going to be so many coin flips coming up. Oof.
Yeah, I mean, Matt, I've no coin flips.
All right. What about pseudo random number generators?
No randomness. We are adults. We can decide things.
But Rando always wins Cards Against Humanity. Let him work for the Simpsons.
No Rando. No Rando Calrissian. But with that, I think we bring our episode, to a close. You can find, if you want to look, follow the stuff I get up to online, I'm on Twitter, @MixMasterCereal. That's MixMasterCereal. Matt does not participate in social media. You will not find him. He is a ghost in the darkness. Allie, yeah. Plug all your stuff.
Hi, my Twitter handle is CosbySweater, CossBy Sweater, and you could find everything, including my Milhouse songs and Simpsons stuff, on my website, AllieGertz.com, AlieGertz.
Fire Talk with me. You guys
did
a great job.
Yes, thank you very much. Yeah, we if you are interested in a very different TV show,
yes,
cast, although I know that Josh Weinstein and the Simpsons writers were big fans of Twin Peaks, as you'll see in a later episode, much later episode. Come on to Fire Talk with me. It's a very fun Twin Peaks podcast.
Yeah, Twin Peaks is a great show. Your podcast, if I do say so myself, is very good as well.
Oh, thank you very much. I love doing both worlds. I love coming on to guests on this episode because it is much lighter and more easy. These episodes do not give me nightmares. So I appreciate that.
Good. Well, that will call it a day. I am Robbie.
And I'm Matt.
And keep watching The Simpsons.